shaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, May 12th, and it is hot, hot, hot. And we just finished watching Monday Night Raw, and it is time for us to gather as we do here on Mega Powers Radio for the Raw post show. However, it's going to be a quiet night. Only two people on the cast tonight. First off, I will be hosting tonight's festivities. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. And also with me, one of the many hosts we have across the network here. He hosts Addicted to Anime, as well as Unanimous Decision on his own little project thing that he's doing. I don't think that has an official host, but Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven?
I'm good, man. I actually enjoyed Raw tonight, so it's a shame there's only two of us, but we'll make stuff happen. It's going to be fun.
I think it was a pretty decent episode. I think, as always, especially ever since they had these three-hour shows, there was lulls, but it was an enjoyable show. I never felt like, oh, God, is this ever going to be over? It flowed nicely.
Yeah, it kept me entertained for the most part, and there was a few surprises of the night, which surprised me too, so.
Well, we also wanted to let y'all know that this is going to be the most interactive post-Raw experience that you're going to find out there. We're going to have the phone lines opening up around 11:30, so you can call in and give your opinions about tonight's show. We also have the chat room rolling, and of course, on Twitter, you can go onto the hashtag #RawPostShow. So, as I always like to start off here, I like to ask you guys, well, just you, I guess I should say, what is the number one thing you took away from the show tonight? What was it?
How can it be anything else but Daniel Bryan's having neck surgery, and it leaves kind of a big hole, because if it is worse than what it could be, then this is a guy who's finally just reached the top and looked like he was going to usher in a new era, and now he's gone. And even if it's a short break, it's still killing his momentum for a duration of time. So, whilst the surgery isn't meant to be that bad or that big of a deal, it's still worrying.
Absolutely. I mean, Daniel Bryan has had this absolutely tremendous story through this last year of overcoming insurmountable odds with every obstacle that's been put in front of him. And a lot of the things that is in the Daniel Bryan story are real life elements, especially from the past few months with the big WrestleMania victory, with marrying his love, Brie Bella, the losing of his father. It's all like really touching, and now to have something like this impact him, it's tough. It's tough to see happen to a guy like that. Going with Brian the Brain, he's saying, I'm guessing they need CM Punk back. And what do you really consider what they've lost this year with CM Punk and Daniel Bryan leaving now? I just worry that if Daniel Bryan ends up being gone for too long, if they're just going to go to like their old fallbacks, like, oh, well, time to put the WWE title on John Cena again.
Well, what do you do in this situation? I mean, the Shield's prime and ready for that spot too, but shit, it's a weird situation. If Brian does end up getting written off for a while, I'm all game for, say, a Bray Wyatt to fill that spot for a duration of time.
Well, let's bring it. Five Times Combo is asking in the chat room, so is this neck injury real/confirmed? I think it's pretty fair to say that this is legit. For them to put it up in a storyline up front like that, yeah, they also wrote him out in a kayfabe sense by having Kane attack him. I think that this is legit. Daniel Bryan is going in for neck surgery, and it's legit that they don't know how long it's going to impact him. Something like this could easily be a few weeks out, and he'll make a nice, easy recovery, or maybe there will be a complication in the rehab, and it'll take him 3 months to come back. Or it could be real bad, and it might take years, or he may never come back. These things are very difficult and precious situations. You gotta take these, you can't take them too lightly. So
it's definitely real. I mean, Scoops was reporting it before before Raw went on there, so it sucks. And they're saying it's a minimally invasive surgery, so that just means it means it's going to be a smaller incision, and the people who have that type of surgery, they have a lot faster turnaround time in healing. So people are expecting him back for either Payback or Money in the Bank, but obviously you don't want to rush something like that when you've had issues with Edge coming back from surgeries too fast, and you saw how that ended.
Absolutely, and that's what I really hope. They don't rush him back just to meet some kind of pay-per-view, especially Payback. If it was WrestleMania, then I'm not saying it's okay, but to rush him back just for Payback, it's fine. You can have an Evolution and Shield be the main event for a show like that. It'll be just fine. If it takes him one more week past Payback, then so be it. It's worth it, because I don't want, for the long term, for this to hurt Daniel Bryan's career, which is something I want to talk about. How is this going to impact Daniel Bryan's career? Is he going to have to consider what his style has been, because Daniel Bryan, I would have to say, is one of the most reckless performers out there. As a former performer yourself, and you see the moves that he's done, the headbutt he does off the top, which we've seen that headbutt caused problems for other people. Not saying that's the direct thing, but just not even just saying Benoit, but people like Harley Race. I know there was another one I was looking at earlier that did the headbutt and ended up having spinal complications later on in his life. But even more so, that suicide dive he does to the outside of the ring, he's insane.
I think a lot to do with it. It's not so much that it's just his style. It's his style added with the WWE schedule, because they ain't just they're not just doing this for Raw and SmackDown. They're doing it pretty much every night of the week. So you've got to learn sometimes that less is more, especially in the long if you're looking at career longevity. So I hope he steps back and maybe he tones down his style for Raw and SmackDown and really puts on those big shows for just the pay-per-views, because if it means we get Daniel Bryan around longer, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, and I don't want to say it's okay when they do this, but wrestlers tend to do a lot to make themselves stand out to get to the top, and then when they're at top, they tend to lax back a little bit. The biggest people we saw that with, of course, are Hulk Hogan and John Cena. If you watch their earlier stuff, those guys put a lot of hustle into what they're doing, and then as time went on, people complain, oh, the five moves of doom, the watered-down simple matches. Well, that's because they needed to put themselves in a way that they're going to have longevity. And not everyone's going to go out there. If you go out there and, you know, make yourself wrestle like Shawn Michaels, you're very liable to have a back injury that's going to take you out for 4 years.
And the reality of it is, even Shawn toned himself down when he got to the top and really only delivered on the main pay-per-views. And same with even Bret Hart. He had his little five moves of doom going on too. It's just the smart thing to do. When you get to that top position, you can't be destroying your body each night, because you're investing in yourself. And the company's investing in you too. So it's got to be smart money.
Thank you, Five Times Combo. Rey Mysterio is a guy who got to the top and kept trying to push himself to be that super extreme style that he had. And that's why he's had, 9 knee surgeries he's on now?
He was having an interview on, was it Chris Jericho's podcast, where he just blatantly said, all the veterans were telling me to slow down, and I was like, nope, fuck them, I need to do that to get over, and, well, now he's pretty much crippled.
Oh, that's a really sad story. Speaking of mass people, I don't know if you got to catch NXT this past week. There was a couple new mass superstars. They were a tag team. One of them is the former Calypso, or he still calls himself Calypso, I believe. Really, really cool. Masked wrestlers are coming back.
Wasn't that the guy that was meant to be teaming with Ricardo under the mask? I haven't had a chance to watch this NXT yet.
I did not catch his name or find out what his backstory was, but I was impressed.
All right, keep watching.
Yeah, check that out, folks, if you're into the masked luchadors. Getting back to Raw, I don't even know what other big event we would go into in this. This was really our big storyline of this night. We had Daniel Bryan's speech, and of course we had the attack by Kane to make a kayfabe reason for why he's going to be out over the next few weeks. Where does this leave Kane?
Kane's left with nothing to do right now, but I'm glad the fact that they actually put a storyline into this makes me feel they're confident that they're going to have him back soon. As far as where Kane goes now, I suppose he could be helping Evolution get the win over the Shield, since he's technically a part of the Authority still. Otherwise, I don't see a babyface for him to feud with right now.
I mean, they could just take the Authority storyline, just put him on anybody, I guess. Anybody who's not busy. They found a spot for Big E. Who's just lingering right now? Santino?
There you go. I've got no clue what Kane's going to do. And the thing is, Kane can even go away for a while and just come out and do the occasional beatdown. As long as he looks like a monster, that's all they need until Daniel Bryan's back.
What's left for Kane after this is done, though?
Movies? Insurance companies?
Office? Is he going to run for office? Politics?
Shit, I'd vote for him just because he's Kane.
All right, well, let's move along with something else that happened tonight. Let's just start off chronologically. I think we're going to be running down things pretty fast because, as we said, it was an entertaining show, but newsworthy? Heh. The first segment was pretty cool, though. We had The Shield out there doing individual speeches. Most notably was Roman Reigns, who I think this is the first time he said something that made himself stick out more than the rest of the group, where he said, I'm not just going to make you believe in The Shield. I'm going to make you believe in me.
Yeah, Reigns has got the one-liners down to a T at this point. It's like, Dean Ambrose can deliver a sweet promo, Seth Rollins ends up speaking about five sentences too long, and Reigns has just hit a nice nail on the head, so...
I like the way they were interacting with each other, too, where, like, Ambrose says his piece, and he kind of storms off, and his little crazy guy anger passes off to Rollins. Rollins is doing his shtick, but he's like, oh, you're looking upset over there, big guy. You got something to say? It's just like they're really, like, bros palling around saying something. That was a nice little interaction for them.
Well, it's one of the only teams in a while that actually feels and gels together like a team, and it shows even in their promos and their matches, and it's just a lot of fun.
And it's also the first one in a long time where we can feel confident about every person's career after they break up. Yeah. I know that's something that's said so many times, but every time I see him, I just can't help but
be impressed.
Yeah, and it's nobody. There's absolutely nobody that could possibly be the Jannetty in that crew.
Yeah, if someone ends up being a Jannetty, it's not on them as much as it'd be on the WWE booking team, because he's ultra talented.
We see a black limo pull in, which ends up having all the Evolution members in it. Shield wastes no time and run right after to them in the back and give a little bit of a beat down throughout the back, not wasting any time. Good for their Shield. They're showing that they're aggressive and that they want revenge.
Yeah, it's funny how often, like, it's, you know how you have John Cena as a babyface, and normally it's just all smiles and gigglies, and the Shield's like a real legit person. It's like they feel real to me. It's, they're angry, they just get the job done and go and kick the guy's ass. I'd love more of that. No one's angry anymore, so.
And they just walk around in flak jackets.
Yeah. Hey, they look cool in them, so I ain't gonna say shit.
They do look very cool. I know a few people who are very big into the paintball scene, and there's a couple of them who are big into the black flak jacket look. Not everyone's into the camo, so yeah, good for them.
I'm kind of glad that Dean Ambrose has dropped the awful, just for a while he wasn't wearing one and he just had that awkward black top on. And
he had that Under Armour thing.
Yeah, I was like,
it looked weak.
Yeah, I'm just glad that he actually gels and looks to say like a part of a team again. It was weird when he did that.
And not only does he have like a puffier chest piece again, he also has the hood, which I think is really good for him.
Yeah, and they make those masks that they wear a lot cooler than what Aces and Eights did.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Our first match of the evening is Rob Van Dam versus Jack Swagger. However, we don't really get to see much of it because they're interrupted by the Exotic Express introducing Adam Rose to come out, dance around the ring. Well, not even dance around the ring, be crowd surfed around the ring, distracting Jack Swagger to get hit with a kick, the 5-star frog splash, and the pin for Rob Van Dam. Short and sweet, fun little extra introduction to Adam Rose. Hopefully we'll actually get to see him in a match soon, though. And I'm glad they're doing it with a real person, not just a, you know, series of squash matches like they usually do when introducing somebody new.
Yeah, the thing with Adam Rose is I've been hearing a lot of people be complaining how he's being brought into the WWE, but my question is, how the hell do you bring in a character like that? I'm fine with what they're doing right now, and if it gets Jack Swagger less time to wrestle, I'm all for it. So I enjoyed RVD just jobbing him out very quickly. This must have been like the best high for RVD ever, watching all the flashing lights and colorful costumes.
He saw the bunny. He's like, oh man, I remember you from last night.
But as far as Adam Rose goes, I'm going to be interested in seeing how him and Jack Swagger work together. I imagine they're going to have a match at Payback. And
it's an interesting first opponent to pair him with.
Yeah, but I suppose it works with Zeb's character. And I loved his deportationless speech, how he said it's the most important document in American history.
You know, for all the shitting on Jack Swagger we often do, I really feel like they have a lot of faith in Jack Swagger. And that's the only reason why he's been around for so long and why he is the go-to guy for situations like this. Let's not forget, he was also the guy that they put in charge of being paired with Michael Cole and freaking Jerry Lawler.
Yeah, he's definitely got a spot on the roster, but I don't think he'll ever be a main guy. He's had so many opportunities and just pissed them away. So it's a shame, but he serves his purpose.
Indeed. We had a Bo Dallas promo, a BOMO, which is one of the ones I've actually really liked because of it makes you think. It is I'm trying to find the exact line of it. A bird sits on a branch and feels confident, not because the branch is going to sit, but because if the branch breaks, it has the wings to fly. Believe that you can fly.
Oh, I fucking love this Bo Dallas stuff. That's a guy I'm interested in seeing where he fits in on the roster, because Do you throw him in a title feud, one of the mid-cards, or who do you put him with?
This past Thursday, they said that they're going to be having him debut on SmackDown next week, which I think is good. They haven't done a SmackDown debut in a while, and I think that's a good place for him to start. Let him start from the bottom and work his way up.
Hell yeah. We've got not much more to say than that other than I'm definitely giving him a chance. He's a lot of fun.
As far as who, that's a tough question. Who's it like a low card comedy heel that you can put him out there with?
Fuck, I don't know. I could see Bo Dallas feuding with someone like Big E. I don't know if they've got much good chemistry, but I could see it.
They do. I mean, Bo Dallas won his NXT title from Big E.
I never actually got to see that match, but if they've got the chemistry, then why not? Because I don't think the most of the WWE universe has been exposed to them, so.
We had a Divas match between Paige and Alicia Fox. It was short, but it was fine. It was completely unoffensive. Paige is improving every single week she gets out there and gets more comfortable being in those massive crowds. Alicia Fox, I always thought, has been very underrated and showing that she can hang. Then they had this little bit of an awkward thing after the match, after Alicia got pinned after the, I think it was the Paige Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia starts ripping apart the announcer's desk and does that thing that we often see with a male, so it looks, you know, impactful when a male is using his massive strength to throw things around her. She just looks catty. She opens up a drink and just kind of like twirls it around in anger. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look very tough. And then she steals JBL's hat.
Yeah, well, she shook it up and got it wet. I mean, that's a dick move. As far as this match goes, though, I was highly impressed. Maybe it's just because I hold the Divas to such a low at this point that when they do a semi-good match, I'm like, oh, shit, this is the greatest thing ever. But these two have got chemistry, and I could see a feud evolving from this. And, man, Alicia's got movesets a lot more... don't know the word I'm looking for is, but she's got a lot more moves than I thought she did. She did the bridge over belly to belly. She also was doing sidewalk slams where she was picking her back up again. I thought it was really cool. So Alicia Fox won me over within the match tonight. The promo afterwards, all the skit afterwards was a bit weird, but hey, she's gotten a mean streak and it's about time a diva does.
She's been at work down in NXT where we have all those other awesome divas. And whatever they've been doing down there, man, they've just been breeding a lot of great talent, and it's rubbing off on her, too.
Yeah, it's kind of odd that it's like you graduate to wrestle shitter competition.
I actually was thinking that when they have a tournament going on down there right now for the vacant Divas title because Paige had to vacate it.
Yeah, so Natalya in it.
No, the Natalya promo. She's like, this would be such an honor to win the NXT title. I'm like, you're a former Divas champion.
How sad.
Five times combo in the chat room saying Alicia hits the table and then looks at her hands like she hurt them. That's actually pretty fun. All right, guys, I'm going to open up the phone lines a little early. We already got our first caller there. I'm going to bring him on. But if you would like to get yourselves in line, go ahead and dial area code 760-512-7247 is the number. And of course, chat room's rolling as I keep plucking things out of there. We're going to keep that going as well. But first, let's bring on our first caller here tonight, JD from Pittsburgh. JD, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How's it going this Monday?
Oh, absolutely tremendous, dude. How you doing?
Not too bad, actually. Not too bad. Yeah, tonight was a little bit better than last week. I think they did do some things that were kind of cool. I mean, it does suck with the whole Daniel Bryan thing being out. However, the question is, how long is he going to be out and where they go from here? I just have a funny feeling. I mean, call me crazy, but I could see maybe possibly CM Punk coming back into the picture now. Maybe possibly. I mean, he'll show up at Payback and maybe cut a big Pillman-type pipe bomb promo that would just shake the company to its core. And I think something like that could happen in a few weeks in Chicago. As far as what you said about the Divas thing goes, I mean, yeah, it was good tonight. I mean, it was pretty wild to see Alicia throw a shit fit after the match, Heller and you're nuts. I mean, I don't know if that's a new story they got planned for or not, but I heard she was pretty miffed off backstage after the matchup, let's just say. And then, of course, you had the whole Nikki Natty thing. Of course, the main event was a short one between the Shield and Evolution. And, of course, you have Evolution with Bautista, or should I say, the dick with beard. If Orton and Hunter, I'm hoping once this feud is going to come to an end soon. I mean, I could see something like a War Games match happen in Chicago, possibly, if they decide to go that route, possibly. I don't think they're going to. But, I mean, there was only one really good match the entire night, and that was John Cena and the Usos taking on the Wyatt family. But other than that, I would say it was a thumbs in the middle type show. However, I mean, the whole Adam Rose thing, I don't know why they even started with that. That was kind of dumb. Then you have this whole thing with Hacks on Rusev and, of course, Big E. That was just even more cheesier by the night. I mean, just like I said, yeah, all in all, it was a pretty decent show, but it could have been better if you ask me.
So, what do you think they're going to have as our main event going into Payback now?
I would imagine without Daniel Bryan, however, I could see them maybe bumping John Cena and Bray Wyatt possibly being the main event now and putting Evolution as the semi-main event. Like I said, the only thing is, do you bring CM Punk back in right now? I mean, does he?
I don't think it's a question of do, it's can you?
Yeah, I think if you can, however, I mean, I think they're not going to say anything about it. I could see him show up at Payback in Chicago and the place explode. And Michael Cole and them are like, what the hell is this? We haven't seen him in months. And just the whole place would go nuts. You could just either come in before the main event or before the show starts and just cut like a 20, 30-minute pipe bomb. No matches of any kind, just literally go off on a tirade before anything. And that would just drive the rating up, I think.
It would be a big turn from what the current thing looked like we were going towards. Everyone was expecting the big summer of Daniel Bryan this year, and then suddenly have it hark back to CM Punk, possibly in his most pissed off attitude he could ever be.
Oh, no question about it, and I think it would work. The other thing, talking about pissed off, how you have the whole Brie Bella, Stephanie McMahon thing. Once again, Stephanie putting Stephanie the Mangina in her place tonight, and you could tell Stephanie just was ready to pop Brie. And it looks like, I mean, they were saying something a while back about her maybe getting in the ring again. I mean, come on, we don't want to see Stephanie back in the ring. I mean, I've said for weeks on end, it's time to end this whole goddamn Authority storyline. It's time for Vince to come back on television and put the Authority in this place, and I hope after Payback we see that happen, because we don't need to see Hunter continue to basically have his little butt buddies kiss his ass every week and just feud with the Shield. I mean, they said that's going to be the big feud of the summer, obviously, but you know what, like I said, it's time to start scaling down on the Authority and bring the, I mean, I know that he doesn't know much on television, but it's time to put someone like Vince or someone else in the Authority's place. The only question is, who will that person be? We really don't know.
I think it would be amazing if there was this big long-term conspiracy by Brad Maddox.
Yeah. You know, we haven't seen him since the Shield basically broke him to pieces. What was it, about 3 weeks ago, I think it was? 2 or 3 weeks ago?
I don't remember the last time we saw him.
Isn't he still the GM of Raw? I don't know.
Yes, he is.
Wow.
Raw or SmackDown. But, you know, I've been hearing also at the same time, if it's not Max, the one guy they're talking about maybe bringing in for GM, however, is Sting.
Ooh.
I mean, we've been hearing Sting for a while. When's that going to happen? Or is the talks finally you don't see it happen now? I mean, I still see it happening, but I just don't know when now.
Yeah. I don't know where the ending point is for this. I mean, I almost feel like this is it. There is no more Vince. This is the status quo going forward. It's Vince and Stephanie's show. Or not Vince's out. Hunter's and Stephanie's show.
Yeah, and they're having their butt buddies kiss their ass at every turn with Batista and the dick beard, shall I say, because he looks like a total dick with the beard. I mean, he really does. I mean, come on. I mean, tonight, however, they could have had this as a good match, and obviously next week you're going to have to continue to build up of the saga. But, of course, like I said, we'll know by Thursday what the status of Daniel Bryan is. I mean, personally, I got to ask you guys point blank, how long do you think he'll be out if they determine it is severe? And it looks like it could be severe.
Well, the word severe ranges depending on what you mean. I mean, is it a disc fusion? Is it what? I mean, neck surgery. It's really complicated. Right. So,
yeah, I am not anywhere near versed enough to have any kind of opinion in this. I just hope that the easiest answer I can give for this is Daniel Bryan should return when he's ready to return and not a moment sooner. That's what I hope to see. If he has to take 6 months, then so be it. I mean, it would be terrible. I would miss him, and it couldn't have been at a worse time to a nicer guy. I was just gonna say,
if you lose him for 6 months, the ratings will go down, and I mean down big. And that will really alarm that WWE then, because they'll have to rely on their golden child boy, John Super Cena, if you will, after the whole Bray Wyatt thing. you know, and then after John Cena, where do you go from here? I mean, we've talked for a while. Roman Reigns could be the next big future star. Antonio Cesaro, who wasn't even on the show tonight. I mean, what the hell is up with that? You know, unless Cesaro was over in Europe with his buddy Paul Heyman promoting the European shows, which I probably imagine he would. But, I mean, there are a couple of surprises tonight. I mean, like I said, this whole, I mean, I don't know. You said that Bo Dallas is debuting next week. That's a real surprising story I did not hear about, because I've been hearing all along he was going to debut either at Payback or the night after Payback. But to him, for him to come on television next week and maybe a tryout match, unless this is legit, and they're going to probably leak it out later in the week or early next Monday, however, before the show in London, however, for him to make his debut in London, kind of surprising, if you ask
me. No, it's going to be on SmackDown, this week's SmackDown.
Yeah.
Is that London?
No, it's in Greensboro tomorrow. London's next week. I thought it was next week. You were talking next week in London.
No. The videos they were showing on Thursdays, I still think SmackDown's on Thursdays. On Friday, SmackDown said that he was going to be on the next week's SmackDown.
And I wish it was on a Thursday.
What are they going to do with him upon his entrance, and who they feud him with? It's going to be interesting. But I could see him and Drew McIntyre maybe possibly getting into an interesting match, maybe possibly this Friday.
If they separated Drew from the three-man band, I would say so. I can't see Bo in the three-man. Well, yeah, maybe he could. Maybe he can come out and give them, like, life advice that he believes in them, that they could find better careers than rock stars.
Yeah, exactly. It's possible. I was just thinking about that. Well, high point, low point real quick. I know you're going to get to that. My high point of the night, definitely the six-man tag, the Usos and Cena versus the Wyatts, really good. The low point I have to say tonight was the opener. It was just absolutely boring. It was stupid. Why would you have Adam Rose come out and act like a jackass? And so far, that gimmick's already been – I mean, I've seen it twice now in 2 weeks. It's not going to work. It's like the Rusev thing. It's going to fail and fail miserably.
You don't even think the theme song is catchy?
Not at all. You're turning into Michael Cole now, man. This is scary. talking about Michael Cole, he acts like a dork, and every time JBL just gives him, it seems like JBL just wants to punch him every time he sees it, you know?
What was Michael Cole doing? He's like, that's how you do the Adam Rose dance. You hop up and down. I'm like, no, that's JBL, not it at all.
Well, that's a good way to kill someone's fucking momentum. Have Michael Cole.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, great call as always, JD. Have a good night. We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week, guys.
All right, folks. If you're listening out there and you want to be like JD, call and give your thoughts about tonight's Raw. Numbers, area code 760-512-7247 is the number to call in. And, of course, the chat room rolling nicely. Alex Moorhead, Creep is on the radar, pumping comments out in there. I'm trying to pull them out as often as I can. But we're going to keep the ball rolling talking about tonight's show. We talked about Paige and Alicia Fox. We had a six-man tag team matchup between the Usos and John Cena against the Wyatt family. This was long-ish. It went across, I think, two or three segments, but I don't have any notes for it. John Cena gets the win after hitting the attitude adjustment on Eric Rowan, breaking his losing streak that he's had over the past week. Man, that sucks for you. Talking about the fantasy league for a moment, you got John Cena on your team, thinking that that would have been a big winner.
You see, he's going to be a big winner in the long run. John Cena doesn't lose. He's going to put Bray over for a little bit, and then he's going to go back to jobbing everyone out he touches. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to keep him away from Daniel Bryan for as long as they possibly can. And during that, he's probably just going to run over a bunch of other guys, too. So I'm confident with John Cena. I mean, it's a safe bet.
You think that's a WrestleMania match for next year?
So I think that's probably the way they're going to go with that. I mean, I think those two guys have great chemistry, and you don't want them to touch each other until a big show. Either you do it at a SummerSlam or you do it at a WrestleMania, because that match is money, and the longer you can keep those guys away from each other, the better.
And you got to make sure it's at a point where they're both really hot, too.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I don't want is John Cena to win another Rumble to get there.
After the match, Wyatt said something about how he's thanking Cena for making him realize what he has to do, whatever that means, Wyatt being cryptic again.
Yeah, I just chop it up to another Wyatt promo. I'm hooked during it, but I never remember what the fuck he said.
We have Evolution come out where Triple H says that they are going to be accepting the challenge to face the Shield at Payback. From what I'm seeing, they're having an actual six-man tag match, but the way he said it sounded like they were going to be having a series of singles matches, so I don't know what the heck is going on.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. He basically one-on-one talked how they were going to demolish Dean Ambrose and humble him, and something about a hummingbird with Seth Rollins. I don't know what that was on about. And they're going to make sure that Roman Reigns doesn't come back from payback. So I assume it's going to be just a rematch because they used the word rematch, but it was a very odd promo. It didn't give you any definitive answer.
The way I got the feeling from it was they were going to have like a series of gauntlet matches or something, or a series of handicap matches where it's like all of Evolution versus Rollins and all of Evolution versus Ambrose. And like, oh, that's going to be so miserable. That's going to be the worst pay-per-view ever.
Shit, they might have to do multiple matches if they lose Daniel Bryan just to fill some space.
You know what? I don't need to see three handicap matches.
God,
that just has like Triple H era written all over it. So that, since that's what we're in, that's very possible.
You know what though? You say Triple H era, but didn't we just have that last year with CM Punk versus the Wyatts? CM Punk versus the Shield and Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatts. So
we did have that.
Yeah, so it's fucking, that was shit too.
That was total shit. But at least it was different factions. Imagine it was the same faction in three matches.
Ugh, it felt like it was three times how long it fucking took. So,
yeah, that was when the Wyatts really sucked.
So hopefully it's just a six-man tag again and give them a gimmick. I don't care if it's War Games or it's fucking Stephanie on a pole. Do something different for this one.
We had another Divas match, this one between Nikki Bella and Natalya. The entire story behind this match actually comes off of a episode of Total Divas where Natalya gave Nikki a wedding present that was a painting of her and John Cena, which apparently was not very good in Nikki's eyes, and Natalya did not appreciate Nikki's non-appreciation of the gift. So we had a match. And to make things even better, during this match, we had the rest of the Total Divas cast standing on the outside of the ring, lifting up pieces of paper with numbers on them as if they're like judges at a diving competition or something.
Well, I always watch this on DVR coming late from work. I got about halfway into this, maybe not even that far. I went, what the fuck is this shit? Fast forwarded it. I couldn't fucking do it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I think Nikki actually got the surprise win with a victory roll. And Natalya threw a little bit of a catty attitude at the end. So it looked like a heel turn for Natalya. That's fine, I suppose, but...
Hey, it's better than farting gimmicks.
Yes. Just tired of this Total Divas garbage.
Well, get used to it. It's going to be around for a long time.
We had a matchup between... actually, Sheamus faced both members of Ryback's. That was a torture. Talking about having to see the same thing multiple times. You had to deal with Sheamus in a match with Curtis Axel and Ryback, beating both of them, one of them with the cloverleaf, the other one, I think, with the bro kick. I don't know. It's not really important.
Wait, is Drew got Sheamus?
Drew has Sheamus.
Lucky son of a bitch. Two matches in one night.
Two matches in one night, won the title last week, and then defended it on SmackDown 2. He got a crap ton of points for Sheamus.
Shit. Why didn't I pick Sheamus as my first pick? I didn't actually mind the match with Ryback. It wasn't too bad, and I mean, other than fucking the commentators botching saying, oh, he's going for the shell shock, no, he's doing that spin out move that he always does, so that was kind of silly. But as far as the match quality goes, wasn't bad. The Curtis Axel match, I wish it was over a little faster though. Sheamus using the Texas cloverleaf again, I haven't seen him bust that out in a while, so that was nice.
I like that move.
Yeah, it's underutilized, so I'm glad. I hope he uses it more often. And if he's going to be a heel, I've always thought it's cool if a heel uses a submission to win.
They're really bringing a big notice to submission moves lately. A lot of people are using them, especially the Divas down in NXT. They're, like, every single one of them has a fancy submission move now.
Yeah, I just hope they don't bust any of the silly ones out. John was watching part of Raw tonight and saw John Cena lock the STF in him, and she was like, huh, that looks pretty shit. And she's not a big pro wrestling watcher, so...
No, but she's right. That does look like shit. It's like seeing the freaking Rock do the...
Sharpshooter.
The sharpshooter.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at is if a casual person thinks it looks awful, then fuck, it's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's not that that move doesn't look bad. I mean, when William Regal did that move, it looked really painful.
Yeah, shit, he did that to Hornswoggle all the once, and that was fucking awesome. It looked brutal.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, the King of the Ring tournament, that was fucking awesome.
Oh, goodness. We had a matchup between two people who you would have thought had absolutely dead-end careers at this point, Fandango and Dolph Ziggler. I think if I could say one positive about this is the first time I think the pairing of Fandango and Layla is starting to feel a little bit natural to me. Layla changed her look a little bit. She had a different dress on. She's been working on her ballroom dancing, so now when she comes out dancing, it actually looks right and not like she's just grinding her hips like she's in a hip hop video. So I'm digging it. I've been really against this, but I'm warming up to it, and I hope this continues. Fandango confesses his love to her, so I think it will be.
She's no Summer Rae, but I'll give her a chance. And that's a hard pill to swallow because I do love me some Summer Rae.
Summer Rae, who hasn't been seen since they split up, maybe on Total Divas, but not on Raw.
Hey, I saw her on NXT. She looked like a stick, though. see what I did there?
Yeah. I see what you did there.
All right. But yeah, it was I actually expected a better match out of these two because these are some of the best workers on the roster, though they're underutilized. There we go. But fun little match, and I don't know what the deal with Fandango and Layla is, but awesome. If it's going to be
at least they're not still facing Santino and Emma for the 50th time.
And she's using a Cobra now, so that fucking, if that was the end of the feud, then we're getting shit on for months later if she's still using that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't mind the pairing. I'm looking forward to seeing if it goes anywhere. But my feeling is they're going to get dropped onto main events and not see the time of day again.
We have Hacksaw Jim Duggan come out, presumably to start promoting Legends House, but he doesn't even get to talk too much before being interrupted by Lana, who comes out once again to talk about how America is a failing economy and that everyone should be praising Vladimir Putin. And Hacksaw Jim Duggan, being the great American that he is, responds with, "Oh yeah? Well, USA! USA!" Typical American argument. She introduces Rusev, who comes out and is about to attack Duggan, but who should come to the save but Big E? Finally, a new black guy for Rusev to face. I don't want to be that guy to have to call that out, but seriously, every single person he's faced since coming up to the main roster.
Well, I heard that Big E actually called him out on Twitter over it, too, so I haven't read too much into it, but I don't mind him going with this direction.
It's got to be awesome. A running joke. It's got to be, like, a running gag that they just aren't, like, being as blatant with, but...
I bet Vince is just in the back cackling in the gorilla position. I can picture it.
I don't get it. What do potatoes have against black people? But Big E is not able to be much help. Rusev tears him apart and pushes him away. But hey, we finally got a real feud for Rusev. He's not going to be continuing these meaningless squash matches. Hopefully we'll see an actual match between these two. So, see what Rusev's got.
Are you okay with Rusev going over, or would you rather Big E? I mean, I still think Big E's got potential to go somewhere, but...
I do too, but you know what? Big E just came off of his Intercontinental title run, and sometimes it's give a penny, take a penny, and I think it is time for Big E to give a penny.
Yeah, I suppose. It's just, if you've just taken a big hit like that, I don't always think it's the smartest move to be put in a situation where you're really going to fizzle out and have to scrap to make some noise again. So I would have rather him be in a different feud, but hey, it is what it is. I guess Rusev's the flavor of the month.
Oh, this could just be a one-week thing, and they'll change their mind next week and have someone else come out there.
Wait. You're saying WWE doesn't stick with their plans?
Well, this guy was just called Alexander Rusev 2 weeks ago. So. Damian Sandow comes out, seeming like he was about to cut some kind of pipe bomb promo. I didn't see it, but apparently he had a moment on the Raw pre-show that everyone was buzzing about.
Huh. I'm going to have to check that out then. Shit.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, didn't get to bring it over to Raw because he was interrupted by Cody Rhodes coming out. They had a matchup between the two former Rhodes Scholars members. They didn't really play that up too much, and really this wasn't even too significant of a match, except that Cody Rhodes finally redeemed himself after being on what was like a month losing streak. So wherever that was going, it's finally done.
Well, he raked the eyes. He's so turning heel, he raked the eyes.
Oh, is that what the story they're telling?
Yeah.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, they were making a big deal that he rigged the eyes, so I don't know. I always love it when a face cheats and they're like, "Oh, he rigged the eyes. Well, the desperate times call for desperate measures, so it's okay."
Yeah, Hulk Hogan raked the eyes all the time.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't know how this fits into the Rhodes brothers splitting up. So
exactly. Speaking of them changing their minds, they have no idea what they're doing with this tag team.
Hey, at least it isn't as bad as the fucking Miz vs. Kofi. Who's the heel storyline? So, if it ends up being that fucking they both turn heel, I'm okay with that, because I would love to see a heel brotherhood going up against the Usos. But I'm confused. Really confused.
Oh, if both of them go heel, that could be interesting.
Yeah, like maybe Cody's been having trouble winning and fucking Dustin's like, well, just fucking cheat.
Yeah, I could show you the dark side. I know a thing or two about being dark.
Oh, God, Black Rain.
Let me introduce you to a friend of mine. Oh, he's up in that mailbox. Go find him. Oh, well, our main event of this night was Roman Reigns and Batista. I honestly started tuning out of this match, as I usually do in the main event, because I started getting prepared for this show. But I saw just a lot of shenanigans, a lot of interference between Evolution and The Shield, as I figured this match would go, leaving all the good stuff to happen at Payback.
Yeah, I totally zoned out of this match, too. And it's an issue with that third hour. You just, for me, it's tiredness.
Mm-hmm. The human brain, when you don't care about the main event, that's a problem. Yeah,
the human brain is not meant to focus on something more than 2 hours, and that's actually true. That's why they keep fucking subjects in school to a certain time. Once comes the third hour, I'm normally zoned out. So I don't remember if this was a good or a bad match, but I just saw a whole bunch of people swarm the ring while Stephanie was on the ramp, and then the Shield backed them off with chairs and powerbombed Ryback, which is always fun. So, yeah, fuck Ryback.
All right. And with that, we've reached the end of the show. As I said, it was probably going to be a quick wrap-up. There isn't too much to talk about from this show other than the Daniel Bryan situation. One other thing that I forget who asked in the chat room I want to bring up. If they do have to strip him of this title, what do they do with it? I guess we said the easy fallback is Cena, but what if they really did want to bring up someone new? What would they do with that?
The only people, I mean, you can either tie the Evolution feud into it, or you can tie the John Cena Wyatt feud into it. The only other option is Cesaro.
Yeah, that's the exact thing. Vacant. Greatest champion of all time, vacant.
Hey, he's held it for a long time.
He did. He's like a 7-time champion now, I think. If it's not Cena, I think it could be awesome to put it on like a Triple H just to piss people off. But if not, then I don't know. I mean, you could hotshot someone like a Roman Reigns or a Cesaro into a situation like that. There's really no one else that's prepared that you could easily bring into that spot.
I wouldn't be surprised if Batista's being promised a title run when he signed that contract. So to get yourself out of a legal bind, you could always just throw it on him for a fucking month.
Not a bad idea.
So, and apparently he's all pissy. So yeah, that's one way to do it. And I'll tell you what, Batista's got major heat now. He's become like the internet wrestling community's worst enemy, so I'd be for it.
There was a point where he was complaining when Triple H was talking. He's like, that's it. I'm done. I'm finished. And I was like, finished what? Shaving? And my friend was in the room. He's like, yeah, I'm so tired of this. Shield's pissing me off. I'm ripped out my skinny jeans. I'm done. I'm going home.
You know what, though? He looks a lot better since he grew the beard out. I prefer it.
Looks more like a man.
Ever since he lost the muscle mass, it's added something different to him.
Alex Moorhead saying his suggestion would be Bray Wyatt as the champion.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. Daniel Bryan's the only thing is, I fear, if they take it off him, I fear they're going to put it on Kane just so Daniel Bryan can take it off him later.
Well, that could be fine.
I don't want to see it, but I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world, though.
Yeah, what's wrong with Kane? It would be like a, what would you call it? Like a respect run. They do that for people. They give them that one. They used to do it with the World Heavyweight title, but now since you don't have it, they could do it with that.
Well, whilst everyone's tied up in a feud, I suppose it's not going to hurt.
Yeah, because Kane is a guy that at least has the kind of credibility that you could do that with, like him or like a big show. You can bring him into a spot like that, and who's going to complain? They're giant monster dudes who have been around for a decade.
The issue still is, though, who the fuck does Kane feud with?
Undertaker?
Yeah, but he's gone because probably Paul Heyman's client conquered the street.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't know. This is why I'm not on booking.
Thanks, fuck.
All right, well, with that, we're going to head into the good, the bad, and the ugly. It is time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we were going to recall what we thought was the best part of Raw, the worst part of Raw, and the most embarrassing part of the show. So let me take it first to Mr. Wago here. What was your good, bad, and ugly?
Good surprisingly goes to Alicia Fox and Paige, and mainly to Alicia Fox. I just think she had a really good match tonight, and I see this come as her coming out party as long as they stick and run with it. As far as the bad goes, I'm probably going to give it to the Divas with the scorecards. Fucking stupid nonsense, and I'm glad they switched over. The ugly, it's the Daniel Bryan situation, and from no fault of his own, well, that's depending on how you look at it, but it sucks. It really sucks, and it killed my mood for a good half hour, so I just hope he gets better soon, and that was just a real downer for me tonight.
Mm-hmm. The good for me, I am actually going to give a shout out to Stephanie McMahon, who I think did a tremendous job in her reaction to Kane dragging Daniel Bryan out onto the stage. Her facial shock that she had and concern as Daniel Bryan was being stretchered out into the ambulance, and her genuine look of pity for Brie Bella at the end, and Brie Bella just showing the hate towards her and how she felt afterwards as the ambulance was driving away. Huge kudos to her. Stephanie McMahon showing that she still got it.
Mm-hmm.
The bad I am going to give to the Daniel Bryan situation. I mean, usually I reserve the ugly for the things that I think are more embarrassing, so I wouldn't say that it's embarrassing, but it sucks. It's just, there's no good that you're going to find in this situation. I hope he has a speedy recovery from this, and hopefully it is the absolute best of what it can be. Who knows? Maybe this may even be better. You know, maybe Daniel Bryan is experiencing some kind of pain now. He has the surgery and the pain is gone and he's just the same as he was before.
One can hope.
Absolutely. The ugly. Oh, gosh, that's a tough one for me. I think I'm going to give it to the Divas match between Nikki Bella and Natalya. That was just stupid. And it's so easy to give it to the Divas match, but out of all the things tonight with the scorecards and Natalya throwing her little brat fit at the end.
Hey, it's perfectly fine. I mean, we had a good showing by one set of Divas and a shit showing by another, so fuck them.
Well, I have to imagine this is setting up for an eventual Natalya Paige feud.
As long as Paige goes over, I got no issue.
All right, folks, we're going to start concluding things here with our plugs. Wago, what do you got to tell the world about?
All right, so Sunday, May 25th, yep, we've got Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be reviewing Tenjo Tenge. Now, it's a typical fighting anime with big tits, but it's actually got a really good story behind it. And so it's got fan service, it's got action, and it's got a great plot line, and it deserves a bit of exposure. So that's what we're going to cover. Also, check out Unanimous Decision MMA. It's a website that I run that I cover all MMA on for the big events. We're looking for writers, we're looking for podcast hosts. So if you're interested, give me a shout. You can go to udmma.com for that, facebook.com/udmma, and twitter.com/udmma.
All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed the broadcast this evening. If you did, please continue to join us every single Monday night following the conclusion of Raw here on Mega Powers Radio at www.megapowersradio.com. We are live with our thoughts immediately following the show, and we want to hear your thoughts as well. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience. We got the phone lines, we got the chat room, and of course, the Twitter. Take advantage of it all, please, and take advantage of it for every other show we have throughout the week. Go ahead to megapowersradio.com and check out that full schedule. But if for any reason you can't join us for our live shows, they are all also available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube. Just simply search for a Raw Post Show or whatever other show you're looking for, and you should easily be able to find it. Also, please check out smarkoutmoment.com, where the Raw Post Post Show is hosted, as well as other wrestling news, results, and other events that you may be interested in checking out. And also, please check out my website, keepingkayfabe.com, where wrestling is still real to us, where we focus on older things, reviews of older matches, retrospectives of old territories, things of that nature. Basically, if you're an old fart like myself, you may appreciate those kinds of things. I'm not even that old. I'm not even 30.
You're still a fart.
Okay, sure. All right, folks. Until next week, for Stephen Huego, I'm Mike Payton. For the rest of the Mega Powers Radio family as well, we'll see you next time here on the Raw Post Show.